Good morning, Runner for Christ.
Good morning.
It's a great day to be alive.
Yes.
You know, taking your cat, you say.
Yes.
You know, but it's a beautiful day, y'all.
It is.
We should be praising the Lord because we here. All of the things that's been going on all last year, this year, we here.
Okay.
And we're here for a purpose. To glorify and magnify the name of the Lord together as a unit. Unity.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Good morning, wonderful Christ.
Good morning.
Today's responsive reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 25, from the New Living Translation. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin."
Then I said, "Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures." First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, or burnt offerings, or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect.
For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor of God's right hand.
There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by the one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds."
Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place.
And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water.
Together, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you went to that cross for us, that you laid down your life. Your body was emptied completely for us, not because you had anything to prove to anybody, but simply because of your love for us. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you that we can come together on this day to worship you, Lord. You made it possible for us. We were lost. we had no way of saving ourselves. But let us never forget what you did for us on Calvary. We thank you for your family. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we always have a place to run to. We're never alone. We just can't stop thanking you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We started learning this song last week, so you know the routine. We sing it again, but I could sing this song every day. We should sing this kind of song every day, because every day is worth it. Every day he's worthy of everything that we can
do.
Build your life. Not on this world.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. For you, Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Heart and lead me in your love alone.
Just those words. There's no one like you, Lord. Sometimes we just have to stop and sit and think about the magnificence of our God who wants us to put our trust in him and him alone and believe that no matter what happens, we will not be shaken because our foundation is in the one who is unmovable. So no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, even if we take our last breath, we are still entering into the unshakable kingdom with the King who cannot be moved. I don't know about y'all, but somebody ought to praise him today. Yeah. Now, it ought to make this song a whole lot sweeter. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we should do something about it. Not complain, not think about our problems, but take a second out and rejoice and be glad in it. It's not a day that this world has made. Our God made this day, and we worship the only one who controls all our days. So this is the day. Y'all get y'all church class on today out there. This is that song.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it.
Thank you. rejoice in our prayer. Nobody has to tell y'all to rejoice out there today. We're going to have the praise team take a seat for a hot second, because it's time for us to go to the altar together. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you feel the need. I was listening to one of my teachers that I have come in contact with via YouTube this morning. And he was talking about in Philippians chapter 4, where we get Paul saying rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. But also that scripture that says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds. But he focused in on that phrase, prayer and supplication. And a lot of people think those words mean the same thing. But when you do deeper study, the word supplication means request, to ask God for something. But the word prayer pointed to how when the Jews could not get to Jerusalem, they would go to the synagogue, and that the synagogues were by rivers of water. And the reason they were located there was because they were mindful that before they could ask God for anything, they needed to wash their hands. They need to remind themselves that I'm coming before a holy God, and if I got anything in me that I'm just in rebellion about, sin, whatever, I need to wash that before I ask him for anything. Because it's our Father's goodwill to give us the kingdom. It's our Father's goodwill to give us every spiritual blessing that we have. Because I said we have them already. But accessing them requires something on our part. So before I just start, we're entering the throne room together. Take that minute. Think of that thing that's holding you back, that's causing your anxiety, in a God who tells you to be anxious for nothing. Confess it. He's good with you because of Jesus. So, Father, here we are at your feet, your children, thanking you for the privilege to be able to call you Father, and knowing that you're not just a Father, but you also mother us when we need you to. You take us up and you supply and nurture us. You see us when we're broken and when we're hurting and when we keep falling down in the same traps and pitfalls that the enemy has put before us, and you still say to us, be ye holy, because I'm holy. Be ye holy, set apart for this work, for this season, for this ministry, for this hour, for this day. We thank you because we can sit at your feet, as we've read earlier, because of the blood of Jesus, because of his will to submit to your will, even knowing it included a cross. Even knowing it included taking on all our guilt, all our sin on himself. Even knowing it would separate him from you. We thank you for Jesus this morning. We can't thank you enough for Jesus because of what he's done for us. He made the way possible for us to enter boldly to your throne of grace with our guilt, with our shame, with our sinful behaviors. And still knowing we have been washed, we have been cleansed by his blood, we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Thank you for your sacrifice for us that we could not do. And because of that, the way is now open for us to run and come and ask you to do some things, Lord. Knowing that as our Father, you hear us. And that you're not evil or mean or harsh or punishing, but you're saying, come boldly to my throne with your requests. Make those requests known to me. Tell me about what you need. If it's healing in your body, tell me. If it's a doctor to move in the right way on your behalf, tell me. If it's a government to move on your behalf, tell me. And you know because of my word, I'm faithful. You know because of what I've done in the past for you and for others that I will do what I will do until I have done what I will do. We praise you, God, because you're the only one who can make that declaration. You're the only one who has stood by and said what you will do and have done it to the perfection. And you're going to continue to do it because your will is the whole plan for everything, not our wills, not our way, not us trying to be you, but you being God and God alone. So we're grateful to just be part of this. We're coming before you, Lord, because some of us have heavy hearts because of loss, whether it be of loved ones or finances or sanity or whatever it is, Lord. Some of us are coming before you. We're just dragging our way in, just hoping that some blessing drops will fall on us. But thank you because you've provided us the way to say, Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, to confess my sins to you and know that you're faithful and just, not only to cleanse, to forgive, but also to open the door to the blessings of the things we need from you. We need comfort in this hour. We need your care in this hour for Naomi, Lord, as she labors right now, Lord. We thank you for the healthy lives you have brought into this world this week. And Lord, we ask for the comfort of the families that have had to say goodbye to loved ones this week. Lord, we can say, and everybody says this world is going crazy, but if we look in your word and we look at what you said these days would be here, they would come, and you told us how to get through them, and then you gave us the best parts. In the end, we have victory in Jesus. So we look forward to the day when we will see Jesus face to face. We will see and know like we don't know now. And we will sing like the psalmist, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. Lord, help us bravely run this race until we see Jesus. We ask all this in his name and his name alone, because there is no other name given amongst us whereby we must be saved. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people.
Amen.
Oh, how appropriate that we sing this last song. You're going to stand to your feet because you know it. What does this song make you want to do? Okay, not the song. What is Jesus? When you think about it, what does it make you want to do?
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he healed me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me.
19 verses 11 to 16, then chapter 20 verses 11 to 12, verse 15 of chapter 20, and then chapter 21 verses 1 to 7. Okay, so that's quite a few, and I'll give you
each one as I read through so that if for some reason you didn't get it the first time. So starting with Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16, it is written, "Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nation. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his right side was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords." Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 12. "And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book." Verse 15, chapter 20, "And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. So there, you just heard it. We are already blessed according to verse 7. Okay. So I don't know about you, but anytime I read Revelation, my emotions are all over the place. There's a sense of astonishment at all of the unbelievable, catastrophic things that will happen. There's a sense of wonderment at the amazing exhibition of God's power that will be on full display. But the biggest feeling is one of relief that I am his and he is mine, for I am filled. Are you? Are you filled?
Yeah.
All right. God's revelation is the true shock and awe. But you know what? Even in our modern times, God shows forth his mighty power through his love for you and me every single day. It is no small thing that he enabled each of us to wake up this morning to sunshine,
amen,
to get us going so we could press out to his house or tune in on Blog Talk so we could hear specifically what he has to say to the church today.
Amen.
Think of this as a special delivery telegram that we're receiving. How do I know that the content of this message is urgent and that we need to hear it right now? Because that's how Pastor O rolls. Just like a telegraph operator, Pastor B was fighting, he's been intensely listening to God so that he gets this message correct. Okay, he's going to give it to us just the way he got it. Isn't that right, Pastor O? Isn't that right, Pastor O?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Spirit was back here talking.
All right. Let's prepare to receive it, just as if our lives depend on what God has to say to the church. Repeat this after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
You know, Sharon was just back there talking. Her and Sheila and Jonathan, you know, last week it was Janet, you know. Amen. Somebody always gets it talking. I be listening because I don't want to be rude. Wow. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for the praise team, y'all. Amen. I'm telling you, they make my job easy. Y'all be all wound up and all twisted up. Amen. And all I got to do is like, kaboomy dada. Everybody, see? See? Hallelujah. Crystal was like, wow. I ain't never heard that in church before. Woo, let us pray. Oh, Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. It's been awesome, Lord. We've had a wonderful time. And we thank you, as we heard in the altar call, that we get to come here. We don't come here because we have to, in some sort of law, or it's going to make us saved. We come here because we're saved and because it's a place of refuge for us. We are all like-minded believers in Christ Jesus, so we're all going through the trials and tribulations. No matter where we are, how old or young we are, we all have to face it. But we thank you, Father, that none of it is enough to keep us from coming back to give you some much-deserved thanks and praise. And now, Lord, we are all here to hear what you have to say. Teach us, Lord. Let us know those things that were previously hidden, those things called mysteries in the Bible, simply meaning they were previously hidden but have now been made known. Jesus, I'll never forget when you said, when your disciples came to you and asked you, why do you talk to the people in these riddles and parables? And you said to them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to them it's not. So we thank you, Lord. We are here to hear what you have to say. Say on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord,
bless my ears again.
So they hear your word again. I acknowledge to you again that my ways and my thoughts are not like yours again. But I'm here today to be transformed, to be made new by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How does God make us new with his word? Because what we did not know previously about God, now we know. But when we know what we know about God, and he's made it plain to us, when we try to walk left, might not work like it did last time. Why? Because we've been renewed. Even if we haven't changed, our thoughts have changed. And that's where the Lord works in your head. You don't work out here because you can do anything with this. Amen? But this up in here, that's where God lives. He lives in your heart. He lives in your spirit. That's where he looks to see change. That's where if Jesus is going to evaluate you, he's not going to look at the outside. He's going to look at the inside. Amen. Amen. And we have opportunities all day, every day, to be evaluated. Now, he's not evaluating you for punishment. He's evaluating you for upgrade. Amen. How can we upgrade you? Amen. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Now, on the first Sunday in August, we began talking about the end of the church age, amen, or the dangers of the last days, right? We don't want to become too worldly. And then we talked about the end of the church age, when Christ coming back to get us, amen, when the church age comes to an end, when we can no longer walk around telling anybody about Jesus, amen. Then the church age ends with the rapture. At the rapture, the seven-year tribulation begins. But before we talked about that, we talked about being a good soldier. Amen? a good soldier of Christ, one who is not so entangled in this world's affairs that they have no time for Jesus, right? You don't want that to happen to you. Jonathan preached a sermon yesterday. He was talking about, amen, Jesus divine. And he was talking about branches that's not useful, cut off and become useless. You don't want that to happen to you. And then we talked about the provisions that Jesus will provide. He will be our Jehovah Jireh. He will give us everything we need. All we need to do is two things: seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, the stuff that we want, the stuff that we need, even things we desire. It's our Father's good pleasure to do what? Give us the desires of our hearts. So he'll provision, he'll provide for us. So we don't have to be worried about those things. I love it where Jesus says over there, the pagans, Nicole, we say the pagans chase after all of these things. And they do that because they don't know God. But we know God. So we don't have to, we like Adam before the garden mess. We like Adam, right? We know everything is here for us. All we have to do is focus on him. And when you get to that place where you know that Jesus is a provider, rather than just saying Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and not knowing, not believing that. But when you know he's your provider, when you cannot have no food to eat. I love it when, I love to call it Tamila. Amen, Tamila. And in that song she says, or will this just be another year of misery for me? Also in that song, she says, it's also hard to say when there's no food to eat. Amen. Can you praise God when your stomach is empty? I watched a real funny movie last night. A guy stole a car. I usually don't watch movies I got to read. Them catching things. Keela, I don't play that. I'm not reading no movies. I'm a show me kind of guy. I'm not reading. So Sheila come in there and say, I thought you don't watch movies you got to read. I'm like, Jesus got me doing something. This guy got into this car and could not get out. Amen. Amen. He went in there and got in that car and could not get out. He was trapped. Amen. But it was a good movie, and it taught me something. Amen. It taught me about God being our provider. What he tried to do was create a better life for his family. And what ended up happening was he got trapped in the car and lost. So, amen, what do we do when we don't get God's provision? Amen? So anyway, God will provide for us. And then we talked about the tribulation period. We talked about after the church is raptured and what goes on during those 7 years during the tribulation period. It's real easy if you just compartmentalize the book of Revelation. Take it the way Jesus gave it to John. It didn't come in one long vision, okay? It was compartmentalized into four different sections of a vision. So you take chapters 1-3, all you get is an introduction in chapter 1 to the Jesus in heaven that John knew on earth. But this Jesus is totally Jesus in heaven, totally God in heaven, and John at first does not even recognize the one who he leaned on. Why? Because Jesus is full Jesus in heaven. Amen? And John is just, you know, it's a trumpet-like voice. And it's loud waters, things that cannot be ignored. But what the Lord wants us to know in chapter 1 is the book of Revelation, you can trust it, you can lean on it, you can rely on it. Why? Because it's Jesus telling John what's up. Amen? You can receive it because it's from Jesus. And that's what chapter 1 tells us. Chapter 1 also tells us that Jesus holds the seven churches of Asia Minor, that's the churches of all the New Testament times, in his hands. Amen? So every church that you look at is in Jesus' hands. And every church is going to correspond to one of them churches in Asia Minor. So chapters 2 and 3 really give us all of world history. Amen? It tells us how the church has behaved throughout history. Ephesus, the church that lost their first love. Oh, they're doing a whole lot of stuff, and they're real busy, but not busy for Jesus. They're busy for themselves. They've lost their love for Jesus, which was their motivation for doing whatever they did. And now they're doing it to make a name for themselves. They're like the people over in Genesis chapter 11. We're going to build us an obelisk. We're going to build us this big giant thing to make a name for ourselves. Amen. So the church, and you'll find that each one of those churches in chapters 2 and 3 corresponds with a particular period in history and how the church was acting. You look at the church at Smyrna. This is the church under persecution. It is small under the Roman Empire, okay, but it's still functioning. It's still operating. In fact, the Roman persecutions made the church stronger. And how did it do that? Because the Roman populace and people outside of Christianity was looking at these Christians being murdered and slaughtered and burned, wrapped up in rags, and used for nightlights, lit at night, literally fed to the lions, putting coats of animals on them and letting them go fight the lions. They were used for sport and entertainment. They were drawn and quartered, put on a rack and stretched until an appendage just came off, until they were all tore apart. And they were trying to get them to say, Danielle, they were trying to get them to say, I don't like Jesus. I don't believe in no Jesus. And when they see the big Jesus on my T-shirt, I'm next to you. I say, hey, Jesus. Amen. So if you look at the church of Smyrna, but God tells the church of Smyrna, press on, keep on going, because I got you. Amen. I got you. And then you get to the church of Pergamum and the church of Thyatira. This is a particular period in Christian history when compromise started to happen, when monophysitism came into play, when agnosticism came into play, okay? And the church began to reform their theology. They're thinking about God. They started to compromise. Monophysitism is believers in the single nature. What's the other one? Agnostic, they believe in knowledge, reaching a certain what they call a gnosis. And then you somehow know God, okay? Both of these groups had alternative views of Jesus Christ. And because, now y'all don't know him, and I'm going to put it out there, Justinian in the 5th century, right, married a woman named Theodora. Theodora had been a prostitute, okay, working in the circus with her father who was a bear handler, and she supplemented her living on the side with prostitution. Well, Theodora got bought by a wealthy man who took her to Egypt, and then he just dumped her there and left her there. Then she was found by a man named Timothy, who was the leader of the Monophysite religion. And so she became a Monophysite. Later on, she had to get Justinian, saw her, and just had to have her. Daniel, he was like, I got to have her. I got to have her. And but the problem, an emperor could not marry an actress, okay? Amen. Back in the day, court jesters, these people we call comedians who big now, they was court jesters. They were just clowns for the king. So they were on this level, and the king was on this level. So what did he do? He had his uncle to change the law, okay? So now an emperor could marry an actress. And when the uncle left and he became the new emperor, right? Amen. He marries Justinian. I mean, he marries Theodora. Theodora does not forget the person who helped her, named Timothy, the leader of the Monophysites. So now she tries to reconcile the Orthodox with the Monophysites, the believers of the single nature with the believers of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of course, it did not work. But that sums up Thyatira and Pergamum. That was the age where the church started to compromise its beliefs. And then you get to the church at Sardis. The church is so bad, Janice, in Sardis, that they have, the Lord says about them, you have a reputation of being. Amen. Some Christians, amen, you tell them you're a Christian, they say, well, you know, you probably got a reputation of being one, but I don't see it in your life. So they had gotten so raggedy in their walk with Jesus that you could hardly tell they were a church at all. Jesus said, you need to wake up and strengthen what little bit you have that still remains and work with that. Well, I'm going to come, and it's a wrap. Then you get to the church of Philadelphia, and we talked about that, Laodicea. Again, Philadelphia is talked about as being a small church, a little church. But what that means in that particular period in history is that the church's voice wasn't that big. There was so much compromise, Pergamum and Thyatira. There was so much not looking like the church at all, Sardis, that now there's only a remnant left that's really holding it down for Jesus. Amen? And so the church in Laodicea is today. It is a church that does not need Jesus. Why? It's got a good job. It's got a good house. It's got money in the bank. Already know what Shorty drank. All that. Amen? Shorty, does Shorty really drink that much? Amen. King Darius is back there like, Shorty said, my ass, we for no drink. I ain't got nothing on your drink, Shorty. Amen. I ain't got nothing on your drink. Amen. But those are those two churches, and you can exist today in either one of those churches. Okay? You're either in Philadelphia and you're going hard for the Lord, or you're in Laodicea and you're pretty chill because you think you got it made because God has blessed you with everything you got. So I don't have to preach Jesus real hard. I heard one preacher say, look at me. He stood up in the pulpit and said, look at me. And he had on one of them old checkered suits. But in his mind, he was sharp. But he said, you can tell God with me by my suit. See, that's Laodicea. You recognize your blessing from God as material things. Other than that, you ain't right. The Lord don't like you. You ain't no good Christian, Cleo, because you ain't got a whole bunch of material stuff. See, so your mask is just blue. You ain't got no custom mask. See, so I can tell Jesus ain't with you. Amen. Jesus with Danielle. See, look at Danielle, man. You can tell Jesus with her. See what I'm saying? See, that's how we tell these things. He's with Jesus. See, because she on the cloth mask, so you know Jesus with her. She high fit. Amen. He with Ed. And hey, look at Rebecca. You know Jesus with Becky. Her's got a color to it. Amen. But that's how we judge. Hey, but we're wrong. Because if we looked at Jesus, we'd have thought he was broken, poor, and tore up from the floor up. Amen. 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 So after church age ends, chapters 2 and 3, then you come to chapter 4. And how do we know church age ends? Because the church is now raptured up into heaven. Jesus told John, come up here, and I will show you what's going to take place after church age ends. After the church is raptured out of the world, John, you need to see what else is going to happen. So John rose up to heaven. The Lord takes him up to heaven. Paul, the only other person we know who went to the third heaven, that's recorded. Amen. We know Enoch went. We know Elijah went. We know Moses went, but they didn't come back. Paul went, and he came back. But when he went to heaven, it was so awesome up there. And they said, Paul, what was it like? He said, well, ain't nothing down here compared to it. And you need to be master teacher Jesus to be able to explain to people or take something on earth and use that to help people understand how things go in heaven, how things look in heaven. And so we get this huge description, this awesome description of what heaven is like. And the church is there, the 24 elders, remember them? They're all robed in the righteousness of Jesus, so they have a right to be there, and they've earned some crowns. They have some crowns, which was given to them, but the rubies in them, a lot of preachers like to say, those are the works you did for Jesus. That's that Luke 16 stuff. Use your worldly resources to make friends for yourselves, so when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwelling. That's that Matthew 6 stuff where Jesus talks about don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust and thieves can take it away from you or death, right? But lay it up in heaven, okay? That's what's in that crown. Those are the rewards. At least that's what the preachers like to think. But we know from Jesus' own mouth, he said, right, that you will get rewards for the work that you do. Amen. The workman is worthy of what? Of his hire, right? You go to work for a week, you get a what? Friday paycheck. You don't go to work all week, you call off every day, how much your paycheck? So did the company do you wrong? No, you ain't going to work that week. You ever notice this? You take one day off, Mary, and it looks like they took half your check. Amen. I only make $30 a day. Why my check this short? Hey, amen. So a lot of stuff to go into that, though. Taxes. And then you get real mad because they wasn't there for a second, but they got most of your money. But anyway, hey, man, and they ain't doing nothing for you, right? Okay. So anyway, after you get through chapter 4 and we have our hallelujah party in heaven, we get to chapter 5. Guess what we do with our crown? We recognize we ain't even worthy to have it. We ain't go to no cross. We ain't stay there for 3 days and raise up on the third day. And we didn't ascend into heaven and give gifts to men. Jesus did all of that. So guess what we do, Mackie, with our crown? We take them and cast them at Jesus' feet and say, he's worthy. Yeah. Amen. And I already told you about Sharon trying to stop John from crying. That's what happens in chapter 5. And then also in chapter 5, what you find is that, you know what the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, guess what? They do that. They do that. Amen? And then you leave chapter 5, you get to 6. And 6 is when the four horsemen of the apocalypse come out. I can't tell you how many people thought the white horse, amen, was somebody good on it. No, he came forth to conquer and conquer. He wasn't coming out to do no good. So over the 7-year tribulation period, he's going to be conquering, okay? And then you have those other horses. They bring plagues. They bring famines. They bring disease. They take the peace from the earth and bring wars. This will be going on throughout the 7-year tribulation period. That will characterize those 7 years. And then you leave chapter 5 or chapter 6, and you go to chapter 7, and the Lord says before any of that starts, Malachi, you know what he says? Cover my boy Malachi. Even though you won't be there during the tribulation period, just using your name, you'll be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. You're Revelation 4, guy. You got rapture. Amen. Now you're flossing up in heaven, right? Anyway. Amen. Amen. So I didn't know. At first I thought it was this. I said, these flossers, and I'm like, this only flossers, I know. No, I didn't do that, but anyway, praise the Lord. So after you get to chapter 6, you go to 7, God want to protect everybody, and of course, after God says these things, there's a hallelujah party. One thing you want to watch out for, tales of thunder and flashes of lightning. Every time something that happens, I notice in the Bible, something happens in heaven or something happens on earth. If it happens in heaven, it's good for us. If it happens on earth, it's hell for them. I like to say, really, though, it's not hell breaking loose on earth because the devil would not be doing down there what the Lord is doing. It's heaven breaking loose on earth. And so after you get all his people protected, they had a hallelujah party, then we get to chapters 8 and 9. And that's when heaven started breaking loose on earth. Cliff, it was so bad. I asked Jesus, why are you wrecking these people so bad, and you expect them to say, I love Jesus? Oh, Lord have mercy. That was all they left God to do. Because it's these years, the church age right now, where the Lord is being really nice, where the Lord is saying, come on in. The door to the church is open. All you have to do is believe. But during the 7-year tribulation period, there'll be 144,000 Jews which will be protected from chapter 7 while they go around and witness for the Lord, okay? But they'll be protected, but everybody else is going to be going through it. It's going to be a horrible time. I mean, all heaven is going to be breaking loose all over the earth. And they've left the Lord no other way but to drive them to him. It's an all a merciful attempt by God to turn them toward him because we know how the Lord is. Smith, you can mess all the way up. Turn to Jesus and say, I'm all the way sorry. And Jesus will all the way forgive you. Jesus will all the way work with you to cleanse that mess up. So the Lord figures if these people turn to me, what is Jonah man? Jonah said, I knew before I even left my town, I told you, if these people halfway turn toward you, you're going to forgive them. You're going to have mercy on. That's why I didn't even want to come down here. Jonah knew how merciful, he knew how kind God was me. He said, the Lord is kind. I ain't going down there and tell them about Jesus. Because if they say, Jesus, amen, all on. Halfway turn. So if these folks went in 8 and 9, just respond to these things. But you get to the end of 9, and guess what they did then? They shook their fist at God, didn't repent from their wicked ways or any of the evil they were doing. They got mad at the Lord. And the Bible says they knew who was doing it. So they hated God on purpose. Then you get to chapter 10. Then you get that big giant angel who people thought was Jesus. One foot on the what is this, the sea, and the other foot on dry land. And then he makes a declaration, tell John, here's a little scroll, eat this scroll. John ate that scroll, and guess what, Mir? What went in was God's revelation of the next 3.5 years that's to come, and the Lord wins. Like Janet said, we get to the end, we win. Okay? But then to bring that about was going to be very bitter. So what was sweet in his mouth became bitter in his stomach. Amen? I mean, God come and tell you some good news, and he come and tell you, go tell them. Well, it ain't good news to them. It's good news to you. But it ain't good news to them. Go tell Egypt, let my people go. Well, that's good news for me, Nicole. I'm ready to get out of Egypt. But Egypt, they don't receive it as good news. They didn't say hallelujah when Moses said, let my people go. Pharaoh got mad. Said, who is your God? Who is he to me that I should let your people go? Tell you what, you and your God gonna make bricks without straw. That's what y'all do. But he got enough of messing with God. Saints, know this. When people start bothering you, and you know they bothering you, but you ain't did nothing, right? But they bothering you. Do what Jesus said. Pray for those who despitefully use you and speak all kind of manner of evil against you falsely. Because they have no idea. You belong to the Lord. He's taking you somewhere. And they're trying to get in the way. Look at everything and everybody, whoever got in the way. Amen? So chapter 10 is transitional. You remember I told you in the first 3 years of the tribulation period, there's going to be some bad stuff going on. A third here, a fourth there. But it's bad stuff, right? Water running out. Vegetation running out. Things is falling out of the sky and destroying whole cities. It's like this flood we just went through, that thing we just went through. They worried about Cat 4 hurricane, 150-mile-an-hour winds, 120, whatever they are. That wasn't the problem. It was the rain. And then Louisiana wasn't really the problem where, I mean, they got hit. But who thought New York was going to get tore up like that in Pennsylvania? Amen? The Lord doing the thing, right? So in chapter 10, it says, not going to be a little bit of stuff no more. Everything's getting hit, the whole planet. And then chapter 11, we get a story about the prophets. And then at the end of chapter 11, those two prophets wreaking havoc all over the earth. Amen. Folks hate them. Y'all messing up everything. Just go away and let us be evil. Let us be without God. Let us live apart from God. Leave us alone. Don't make us worship. Amen. The prophets won't go. So they kill them. And they leave them lying in the streets. And they have a hallelujah party. Them three that was tearing us up, they gone. We killed them. We conquered them. But then 3 days later, Robin, they got back up. Folks didn't know how to act. When they got back up there, it was like, oh, snap. I wasn't partying with them. I was asking them why they do y'all like that. But God called them away up to heaven because why? Their time on earth was up. It's about to go into the second 3.5 years. And it won't need no prophets bringing destruction on earth. Why? Because the Lord is going to do it. So you get to chapter 11, and that's what's going on there. Then you get to chapter 12, and the Lord gives us a genealogy. How all this happened in the first place? Amen. He goes back to Israel. Well, Abraham and the promise God made to him, and then Israel comes, and the promise that will come through them, which is Jesus, And so the devil tries to prevent that. We read it in the Old Testament, right? But Jesus got here anyway. Then Jesus come and tried to get him, but they couldn't. God called him up and he ascended back into heaven. And then after they couldn't get Jesus, couldn't get a hold of Israel, then he goes after the remnant, those who have the testimony of Jesus. Now he after them, okay? And the devil gets kicked out of heaven. See, right now, the devil can go up to heaven and talk to God. We're reading the book of Job. He can go talk to God about Jesus. He can point you out. Well, God will point you out. Ain't that something? But God will say, have you noticed my servant, Mother Miller? There's none like her. 12th Street, 13th Street, 10th Street, ain't nobody like her. Not like Mother Miller. The devil say, yeah, but you got a hedge around her because I tried to get at her, but I ran into the hedge, got all scratched up. So you get rid of that hedge and let me get at her, I'll have her cuss you to your face. That's what God says. That's what the devil says about us to him. If you let me, what does the devil have to do to you to get you to cuss God to his face? Amen. What does the devil have to do to you, to us, to me? Amen. To make us say, we don't love the Lord no more. This ain't fair. This ain't right. Job was scared. It'll scare you. Because, you know, who wants to be Job? Amen. Who want to go through all that in one day? Amen. And we're going to be discussing that as a mental health issue. Because you don't have all that happen to you and nothing mental is going on. Okay? Something is going on. So in chapter 12, the devil gets kicked out of heaven, and then this statement is made. Woe to the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. Because the devil is furious, and he no longer has access to God. The accuser of the brethren no longer has access to God. And here's the part that you want to hear. He knows that he has but a short time. And that's when you come to chapter 13. And this is the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. During the first 3.5 years, the devil's been kind of kind. He's been kind of, oh, I'm here. My boy going to fix everything. Oh, don't worry about wormwood and all your water being. Don't worry about that. Ain't the problem. You're being silly. He's my boy, the Antichrist. He's going to fix that. He's my boy. He's going to fix all that for you. And people who worship the Antichrist really worship who? The devil. Because the devil is running him. Amen. That's why we have to be careful who we worship. Amen. And who we worship with. You got to watch out. You got to know where you at. Be aware of where you are all the time. And what I mean by that is who's in this room? Amen. Demons are always there. Angels, our angels go wherever we go. So you have to understand the room. You have to understand the place you're in. When Paul went to Corinth, Paul had three fears. Paul was going to stop talking. Paul was going to leave town, and Paul thought they might kill him. But Jesus came to Paul and told him, don't stop speaking. Don't leave town. I got many people in this place, and ain't nobody going to harm you. So when Jesus, we know he don't show up and just say stuff. Jesus showed up and said what Paul was afraid of. Like Job said in 325, right? Job 325, the thing I feared the most has been happening to me. The thing I tried to sneak around and keep hidden, nobody needs to know I have these fears of losing my family, losing my money, okay, losing my status in the hood. Nobody, you know what I'm saying? Nobody know I have these fears, but God knew. And God knew that Job, the Lord told me one time when I was afraid to die, the Lord told me, you are not going to be able to live until you get comfortable with dying. Because as long as you're walking around here afraid to die, you are not going to live your life to the fullest. And so God knew that Job couldn't enjoy his 10 kids, couldn't enjoy his wealth, couldn't enjoy his status. Why? Because this fear, this thing I got going on the inside just messes it all up. I could be in a party and that thing hit me and now I'm looking. And people just walk up to me and say, something wrong? you was turned up a minute ago, and then all of a sudden, ooh, Because I'm telling you, when that scary thought hits you, right, it'll fix you right up. Like when I go home, got to call that next person because my lights don't work in this room and that room, but all the rest of them do. Amen. That stuff will just twist you right up. So the devil knows that he has but a short time. And so in chapter 13, he launches the Antichrist in a way that was probably unforeseen in the first 3 years. He starts doing all kinds of miracles. And guess what? This is a fake trinity. The devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, unholy trinity. So guess what's going to happen to the Antichrist? He's going to get shot. He's going to get killed somehow. And he's going to be dead for 3 days. And guess what's going to happen on the third day? He's going to rise up. Boy, if he ain't a perpetrator, I mean, if he don't perp, nobody perps. That boy is just be perping to the max. He hates God, but want to be exactly like him. Even in his protestation, I don't know if it's Isaiah or Ezekiel, where he says, I will be like the Most High. I thought you hated the Most High. Why do you want to be just, see, because God is eternal, right? And because God is God and all there is, we can't dream bigger than God. All we can ever do is want to be like him, whether we hate him or love him. The devil says, and we know he hates God, I'll be like the Most High. So what he does is he builds up his boy, the Antichrist. And what the Antichrist does is builds up his boy, the mouthpiece, the false prophet. And now they are what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, fake. A fake, unholy trinity. But because he's able to call down fire from heaven in the sight of men, in the sight of people, oh, that's God right there. That's Jesus. That's Jesus right there. And for a time, even the Jews going to go for it. They're going to fall for it because they're still waiting on Jesus to come. And when he sets up a seven-year peace pact between the Jews and the Arabs, they're going to be all in. Right here, I need to tell you something. There are seven signs of the second coming of Christ. The first sign Ezekiel talks about, a repatriation of Israel back to the promised land. That happened in Wednesday, May 14th, 1948. The second sign is the creation of a 10-nation empire. We know that today as the EU, the European Union. They will give their power during these 7 years over to the Antichrist and roll with him. Okay? Now, the third sign is what we're waiting for. And it's a twofold sign. It is the rapture of the church, okay, and the ushering in of the Antichrist. You'll find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When he comes in, we go out. When lawlessness begins and we see all of this, we go out. Okay, that's the third sign. The fourth sign is a new world religion, a new world order run by the Antichrist. The fifth sign of the second coming, guess what? You know where the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock is, where they say Muhammad ascended back into heaven? Really, the devil is a perpetrator. He just steal everything. Talking about steal, killing, and destroying, he just steal everything. He just stole Jesus' resurrection and stole his ascension back into heaven. So they say, but on that place, the Temple Mount, where all they have is the Western Wall, which is really a retaining wall, a foundational wall, that's all the Jews have. Now, on the Temple Mount, they're going to rebuild the temple. The Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock will be destroyed, and the temple will be rebuilt. This is when the Jews are going to lose it with the Antichrist. And this is where they're going to a place that God's going to protect them for 1,260 days. Or the rest of the 3.5-year tribulation period. Most folks believe it's a place in Petra, a place called Petra in modern-day Jordan. To get into Petra, this is why it's easily defended, and why the Jews can protect themselves, because the entrance to it is like this, right? So all you need is what, one gun, two guns? And when somebody comes through, they're power. So if you got a million people over here, only two or three of them get through there. Leonidas did the same thing when he had to fight Xerxes. Y'all remember that from the 300? Right? Leonidas took them to a place called the Thermopylae Pass. And because they only had 300 Spartans, but they did also have 1,700 hoplite Greek soldiers made up from all the Greek city-states around, right, to come along with them. But they fought them at Thermopylae because Xerxes came 2 million strong. He wanted to get revenge for Darius because see, Darius had got jacked by a previous king. And so now he's coming to get revenge for what the Greeks did at Marathon. So he fights them in the Thermopylae Pass, and you can only get so many people. So in the fifth sign, the devil is going to go into the temple, well, the Antichrist, and declare himself God. And when he does that, the Jews are going to lose it, Nicole. They're going to be like, he ain't God. And they're going to give up their following him, and then that's when they're going to accept Christ. Romans chapter 11, I'll tell you more about this. They will be that remnant that is brought in. Right now, the Lord is after us, these Gentiles, non-Jews. But during the tribulation period, he's going hard for the Jews. Amen, and that's when they're going to come in. That's the fifth sign. The sixth sign, of course, is the protection of the Jews in that place. And, of course, the seventh sign is what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. That will bring the 7-year tribulation period to an end. The Antichrist is going to mass up all of his followers, and they're going to be ready to fight somebody coming in the sky. Jude read to you, we'll be coming back to rule and to reign with Jesus, and there'll be folks robed in red. Jesus got a tattoo, y'all, on his thigh. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. We don't even have to have that fight no more. Amen. We don't even have to say, you got a tattoo. You ain't saved. No, Jesus got one. Lord, Lord, and King's on the seas, written right on the side. Amen. They must do a painless up in heaven, so when I get to heaven, I might get a tattoo. Because they ain't using needles up there. They got magic stuff there. They just wiping on, you know, and it don't even hurt no more. There ain't no pain in heaven. So I'm going to give me a tattoo. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that is the 7-year tribulation period, right? Jesus comes back to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. Amen? So when he comes back, the Antichrist, amen, and the false prophet, they will be the first two people to go into the literal hell. The first two people to go into Gehenna, the fire that does not go out. Amen? It's like the Simpsons tire fire. Every time you turn it on, it still burns. Amen. These are really the Simpsons tire fire. Really? Lord, trip me. I must have some kind of mind for him not to talk to me like that. The Simpsons tire fire. I watch too much TV. Amen. Amen. So they'll be the first two to go. And then God got an angel, and this will let you know that Satan is not the most powerful angel in heaven, amen, or in existence, right? Because God got an angel that is not going to have any problem getting that old serpent, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, and chaining him up and throwing him. It says he was thrusting him. They bum rushing in the hell and tossed him right on in there into the abyss for 1,000 years. And then we get to live for Jesus, with Jesus, for 1,000 years. Now, if you want to know what you're going to be doing during that 1,000 years, what are you doing for Jesus now? If you're serving Jesus on this level, then you're going to serve on that level during the millennial reign. But if you're serving on this level, then that's the level you know, somebody's going to have to sleep. Amen. Somebody's got to work on the garbage. Amen, because see, the 1,000 years will be on this earth. This ain't heaven. So the stuff that we see going on now will be going on then. There will be mortals who are still mortal. See, we came back from heaven with Jesus. right? We were up there for 7 years hanging out, chilling with Jesus. The Lord said to Jesus, Lord God, our Father, said, Jesus, go get you going back. It's time to go back now and set up the millennial reign. Jesus goes back, brings us with him, sets up the millennial reign. Now, there were folks during the tribulation period who lived right through it. They didn't die. They didn't take the mark of the beast, and they say they love Jesus. So they came right into the 1,000 years. They're still able to have babies. They're still able to get married. They're still able to do all of that stuff, but we are different. We have glorified bodies. Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21 tells us we are citizens of heaven. And we look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that enables him is able to bring everything under his control. And when he comes, he's going to give us glorious bodies like his. So we'll have a glorious body. We cannot turn on God, okay? We will be like what Jesus talked about when they talked about the resurrection. Amen? They neither marry nor are given in marriage. So, amen. We'll be a whole new creation, right? But they will still be mortal. So at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil is loose from the bottomless pit. And he goes out doing what he does, deceiving people, stealing, killing, robbing, and all of that. That's what he does. And he's going to convince some of those mortals to follow after him. And they are going to surround us, the city that the Lord loves, Jerusalem, where he rules from. And we'll be right there with them. And they're going to surround us. But this is how we fight our battles, right? It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Amen? See how blessed, what a blessing them songs is? Next time you get a problem, it's like you're all surrounded. Well, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by, amen. So my problem got a problem. So they're going to surround the city and try to take us down. And you know, I looked for a long time for this fire, for Armageddon, this big battle between God and Satan. Well, here it is. And it's one verse. It's just a piece of a verse. I think it's verse 6. Fire came down from heaven and consumed them. I'm like, well, wait a minute, Jesus. I've been looking for 3 years to find out this. I've been looking for, I thought you and the devil was going to square up. Like, no, I don't roll like that. Boom, you gone. How you going to fight with God? Amen. Plus, your arms too short anyway. Amen. That's it. So, amen, it's a wrap. Fire came down from heaven and consumed them. So what happens next? Well, we get to go and chill somewhere in heaven. We'll be chilling because earth is over, right? Now what happens? White throne judgment. Amen, chapter 20. This is when everybody who didn't love Jesus and didn't want Jesus, didn't care about Jesus, finally get what they want, to live apart from Jesus. Amen. They're going to open up books. They got books up there. I'm sure they're going to be holograms, though, right? They're going to be holograms, and everything in there is everything that we ever did. Oh, we won't be in that line. Probably one of us will be in that line. And when you get to the front, you're going to whip out your Christ card, and Jesus is going to be like, Crystal, what you doing in this line? Get out of here. You don't belong over here. You got your Christ card. Get on over there. See, that's what gets you in heaven. Faith in Jesus. That's the only thing that gets you in heaven. Get you one of these. Get your Christ card. You can get one on the back page. Get your Christ card. Amen. Your boss come up to you and say, you fired? No, I ain't. No, I am not fired. Bam! Christ card, baby. Right. I just got resurrected from my job. Amen. But at the white throne judgment, ain't nobody going to win. But how fair is God? People who hated him, didn't want nothing to do with him, he gives them an opportunity to plead their case. And guess who they're going to be in front of? Those that pierced him shall see him. And everybody who never accepted him pierced him. And they're going to see him. as they said, the Bible says that they all tried to run away. Everybody tried to run away, but there was no place for them to go. Because what does the Bible say? If I run to the east, he's there. If I go to the west, if I make my bed here or there, he's there. Can't get away from Jesus, the omnipresent. I tried to run away, and as soon as I got there, Jesus was like, took you a while to get here. Let's come. Hey, man, he like one of them Freddy or somebody. They walk like this, right? But you can run faster. Amen, whatever. And as soon as you get there, they there with their machete, cut their head straight off. I'm like, Jesus, I ain't even watching this no more. It don't even make sense. Amen. White throne judgment, nobody wins. The Bible says that those whose name were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they all had to give it up before Jesus. And not one of them won their case. They all lost. Now, the Bible also says to those who have taken part in the first resurrection, amen, the second death has no power over them. What is the second death? Eternal separation from God. That is what the second death is. But because we've accepted Christ, that second death, can you imagine that? We don't like this death, right? Could you imagine being told after you just got sentenced to hell, now you've been told now you got to die a second death? Really? That's eternal separation from God. And then the devil, he goes to hell. And I had to ask Jesus about this one, Danielle, because Jesus got so mad he cast the death and hell into the grave. I mean, the death and the grave into hell. And I said, what did you do that for? He said, we don't need that. There ain't going to be no dying in heaven, so we don't need no amen. So we don't need no death. We don't need no grave. They're going to hell. That means we're into forever now. Now we're into Revelation 21. This is where God gets to do what he's been longing to do since the garden. Y'all know how our Father is, right? He created the heavens and the earth, and who did he give it to? Adam. In the beginning, he gave it to one person. God knew all of us was coming here, but he gave it to Adam. I mean, have you thought about the universe, how excited they were about going out on that spaceship and floating around like, that's crazy. But anyway, that's what they did. But God gave that to Adam. Who does that? It's like that commercial for CarShield. They put a motor in it and a transmission. Who does that? I mean, you know what I mean? God created that. I mean, horrible accent. I'm like, Jesus, stay on television. I could be there too. Amen. So as we come to a close, Sarah just wrapped me. She said, okay, wrap it up. Amen. As we come to a close, God is waiting. And he's been waiting a long time. And the only reason the world is still going on right now is because there are souls yet to be saved. Janice used to tell us, pray, Lord, come quickly. Amen. So we can go home. So the fathers, if God was ever anxious, this anxious Maryland to get us with him. He cannot wait to lavish. One time I asked him, Lord, will we get bored in heaven? I mean, we get bored sitting 5 minutes, we're bored. Will we get bored in heaven? He said, I am infinite. I am never ending. I am inexhaustive. In other words, you will never run out of things to do. You will never cease seeing things. What God has in store for those who love him, we cannot even fathom right now. That's why we don't get so much in the book of Revelation other than we win. That book is all about we win. When we get to the end, we win. Don't be worried about all them symbols and creatures with horns and things coming out their head. Don't even be concerned about that. Get to the end and see that we win. Amen? The Lord is longing for us to be with him. But we have to go through this right now. So the Lord wanted you to know, amen, from the first sermon to this sermon. So when he starts up in what he's going to do in the world, you won't be moved. You'll be like 2 Corinthians says, that our work is not in vain. So Because of what God has planned for us, we should not easily be moved or disquieted, okay? But we should be leaping and bounding. We should be Tabitha. We should be Dorcas. That name means gazelle. It means we should be leaping and bounding in the Lord's work, knowing that our work is not in vain. God wants us home, but God wants us to come home to rewards. God wants us to come home to triumphs. He don't want us to just come back and be an average Christian. God wants us to be an excelling Christian. God wants us to come home. That one time I was sitting with the Lord, and I'm closing. One time I was sitting with the Lord, and I was talking, and we were talking. And so he showed me something in my head. And what I saw was a bunch of storage lockers, like these storage places they have. And all the doors were open. And he asked me, what did I see? I said, I see a bunch of storage places with nothing in them. He said, those are some of my people. I have so much I want to put into their locker, into their store in heaven. But they're not doing anything on earth. So that's why they're empty. So warn my people. Remind my people. All folks say only what you do for Christ will last. Think of how much we do for this world to the point that we almost drive ourselves crazy. Amen? But we don't go crazy trying to serve Jesus. Amen? So if you want something in your locker, when all this is over, it's up to you to put it in there. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? Use the resources God gives you to make friends for yourself. So when it's gone and we're home, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. Father, you have made known to us things that have been hidden since the beginning of the world. Jesus, you have kept your word. You said it was given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And you just told us all about what's happening now, what will happen during the tribulation period, and what will happen when we're finally home with you forever to never, ever, ever have to go through something like this again. But Father, help us to stay focused. Help us to stay on point. Help us to every day wake up, lead somebody to Christ, teach somebody in Christ, help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. Every day, Father, let us spend time with you so that we can learn who we are in you and who we're going to be eternally over and against what we think we are here temporarily. I ask, Father, that you bless your church to keep what you gave them. The devil is definitely going to try to steal it. He's going to try to rob them. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy our knowledge of you so that we won't be comforted and we won't be reminded to work. But help us, Father, to keep what you gave us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll see y'all in a couple of weeks to shout it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ain't got the truth for it.
Just a couple quick announcements. Tomorrow, get a grip, 6 o'clock. I was listening in. I'm going to have to make sure I put all my devices on do not disturb, because as soon as we get back down to the last 10 minutes, you know, your phone ringing, people texting and stuff. But it was good. So join in. Get in. Listen in. I'm not punching in to say anything, though. I'm just going to listen. We also have Bible reading class in the book of Job. How appropriate. Get a grip. Readings of Job. And the Bible.
Because we'll be doing Job 15 through 29, but the 15 through 22 this week. And then I'll be sitting there for two. I'll get a grip. So go to our church website, rsvm.org. Click on Christian, click on Bible classes. Click on get a grip questions. I mean, reading time to read that, and then we'll discuss that stuff on Monday.
Continue to be in prayer for our schools being open and the staff and the students for their protection, wisdom, all those important things that are necessary. You take care of yourselves as well out there because you know that everybody doesn't believe the same things. Also be in prayer for the family of James Price's family. Some of you know him in River Rouge. His older son killed his younger son. And so they had a funeral last week, but that's a terrible situation. So be in prayer for that family. And as I was saying, Naomi texted me earlier and said she was in process, in labor. So pray for that. Also thanking God for the birth of little Adrian Marcel. Maya had a little boy the other day, one day this week. I forget. So there's another one in that pool of children. So my backyard looks like I got kids. So we thank God because we know life comes from him, amen? And we know he's the keeper and preserver of life. Pray for, again, all our young people, our young men who are facing graduation at the end of this year, Jalen and Amir. I'm trying not to get choked up thinking about some of this because I'm going to miss these faces on a regular basis and any others. What do you mean, after the end of this year? I'm talking about after they graduate. So, okay, man. Anyway, I must tell you. And also, just a little personal, on Friday I had to eulogize a friend. That's the Mitchell family. One good thing about it is the Lord, I saw healing come to a family that had been splintered because of this person. And so the Lord is bringing them back together. So be in prayer for the Mitchell family. With that, anything else? As y'all standing to your feet. Whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do it to the glory of God. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. But the good thing about being bought by the Most High, that means your value is high. Your value is great. So when somebody values you like that, what else you gonna do but talk about it? Live for them. That's the third name.
If you love him, let go. If you love him, stand with us. If you love him, let your voice shine, glory, if you love him, oh man, love him, if you love him, let him praise you, every nation, sing for God.
Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21 say, "He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's holy people." Everybody say,
amen.
Yes, you know what I'm saying?